Here we go, taking you home on a Thursday. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. If you've got any questions, comments, or suggestions, what did you think of last night's NBA Finals game? What do you think about the Open Championship? Anything else that's on your mind? Fire away. We've got the text line open at 46862. Coming up this hour, we'll be talking to Hayden Jones. He signed a non-drafted free agent contract with the Cincinnati Reds, and we've got him joining the show coming up in about 15 minutes. Also on the way this hour, it's our weekly guest appearance of Tommy Schegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director. And Tommy, of course, is going to weigh in on his thoughts on the Open Championship. Tommy, a big golf fan. Not much of a golfer, but he's a pretty big golf fan. I don't know if he golfs well. I've never played with Tommy, but someone did ask me to participate in a golf outing. I said this yesterday that said, hey, what about a team from 1380 The Fan entering our golf outing? I said, yeah, the foursome would be me, because we really don't have a lot of full-time staff that works specifically for 1380 The Fan here in the building, because as Federated Media, we've got radio stations all up and down the hallway, and a lot of people double duty, where you do something for one station and maybe do something else for another. And for instance, even during the day, I've talked about the fact that I sell a lot of the sponsorships and a lot of the marketing programs for my clients. And that's not just on 1380 The Fan. I do marketing and have clients that currently advertise on WoWo. They advertise on The Bear, on Big 92.3, because all of us are one family, one cluster of radio stations. And so there's a lot of overlap here. And if you want to talk about people that are just specific to one station, I'm not even sure we have anybody who is just employed by 1380 The Fan. Even our producers that produce like Tin Caps Baseball, you'll find them in the spring jumping down and doing a Comet hockey game down on the other station, just down the AM dial. But anyway, my golf game is not in a good place right now. You know, much like a lot of people have dealt with some real issues during COVID, serious issues, my golf game has dealt with issues during COVID. It went from bad to worse. And I just don't want to put myself through the suffering of going out and embarrassing myself again. I do enough of that without golf. I don't need golf to be an embarrassment. So I really haven't golfed. Do you golf? You don't golf at all, do you?
I don't golf. I have. I mean, I've played rounds. I mean, I don't keep score because I'm terrible, but I played some in college because my dad had a brief golf kick when I was in college, and played with him and some of his work buddies a few times. And I did the golf outing that we did a few years ago in, 2018. I did that. That was fun. I get a Topgolf occasionally, which does not count.
I started with my dad when I was a kid. I was like 10 years old, 11 years old. He used to take me out to Shove Park. He used to meet some buddies from work. And at Shove Park, you can get in a quick nine, like an hour and a half. And we would go out there at like 6:30 in the morning so he could get the round in before he then had to go to work for the day. And so he had a couple of coworkers, but there was always three of them. So they had one spot in their foursome. And my dad started to let me go. The only problem is I swung a golf club exactly like I swung a baseball bat. I stood at the tee, I took a step with my front foot, and I swung. And I swung by turning my hips and doing all that other stuff. And so I never really perfected a golf swing that has kind of carried with me through my life. So just, I've got too many flaws in my game. I don't need help. I just need someone to tell me, put your clubs away, you're better off without them. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I enjoy the game when I play, even though I play poorly, but it's probably just best for everyone else's sake that I don't tie them up by joining their foursome. You know, that's kind of the way I feel. I feel like I'm a burden on the other three players because I know I'm not that good. And a lot of the people I know are pretty decent golfers. And so I just stay off the course. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Speaking of guys that are on the golf course, the Open Championship, my guy, Louie. I got 30-1 odds on Louie. I can't believe he was 30-1. As many majors as Louis Oosthuizen has been right in the thick of, and there's plenty of time for him to finish second still. But he is leading after one round. He had the best round of the day today, -6, one shot ahead of Jordan Spieth and Brian Harman. So I feel kind of good after the first day. I've got one of my picks leading the tournament. Now, my picks were Oosthuizen. Who else did I take? I took Rory McIlroy, and I took Paul Casey. And the worst of the three is even par. That's Rory. Paul Casey is 2 under. But guys like Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, a lot of them are in that same area. So it'll be an interesting tournament to see, because I don't think anybody's going to run away and hide from the field. I think this is too good of a field. And with the conditions the way they are, everybody's going to stay, I think, in a pretty tight pack. And it could be pretty exciting all the way to the Sunday finish in the Open Championship. We'll get Tommy's take on the British Open Championship. We should ask Dustin Johnson what you call it. That was pretty funny. He was asked the question by a reporter about what you call the tournament. And he said, when I was a kid, I used to call it the British Open. But now I call it the Open Championship. And they said, why? And he says, well, that's because that's what they call it. Pretty good. 46862, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Last night, it was the NBA Finals Game 4. We have got a series, my friends. It is all tied up 2-2 as the Milwaukee Bucks came from behind to defeat the Phoenix Suns 109-103. Chris Middleton, the former Mad Ant. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talent that plays through the G League that becomes good players. How many players in the finals, I wonder, are former G League players? I think there's a couple of starters. Chris Middleton is one of them. But Chris Middleton, who used to play here in a Mad Ants jersey, was the star of the game last night, 40.6 rebounds, 4 assists. But Giannis, of course, played like the MVP when they needed him. He ended up with 26 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. And the block that he had on DeAndre Ayton may have been one of the best blocks in a NBA Finals in history. I've got it right up there with LeBron James chased down from behind on Andre Iguodala. I think, you know, you make a really good point, Caleb, that the LeBron James block on Iguodala came at a more pivotal time, in a more pivotal game, a more important game, and so therefore it probably has a place in history that is above the block by Giannis. But that was an amazing, I mean, the mathematical odds of him getting up and blocking that shot in that situation, unbelievable. Yeah, great game last night. Devin Booker fouled out about 3 times, just that the refs did not inform him, or the refs didn't actually call it on him. How about that call? Booker, actually, it looked to me like it was almost the intentional foul, where you wrap a guy up and try to hold his arms to keep him from getting a shot up. And maybe in the moment, Booker didn't think about the fact that he already had 5 fouls, but the referee bailed him out and didn't call a foul, called it a clean block. And of course, as Scott Agnes told us, the official that made that call did correct himself after the game and said, at the time, I did not see the contact, but when I watched it on video, I saw what everybody else is saying. And yes, that should have been a foul call on Devin Booker. So Phoenix did get a gift, allowing Booker to stay on the floor. And then he had an intentional foul with, what, 20, 30 seconds left? And Booker actually went to the bench. He intentionally fouled to send one of the Bucks to the free throw line late, and knew it was on him, didn't have to wait or be acknowledged by the official. He went straight to the bench and sat down, and the official still didn't call that one on Devin Booker, and he still hadn't fouled out of the game. So yeah, maybe a little gift, but it didn't matter. Phoenix ends up falling. Chris Paul, literally falling, tripped over himself 2 or 3 times and let the ball get away, had 5 turnovers. Milwaukee had 5 turnovers as a team, and the Bucks ended up shooting 19 more shots than Phoenix, because they out-rebounded Phoenix on the offensive glass 17-5, and they were better in turnovers 5 to Phoenix's 17. So now it moves on to Game 5. Always say this is the pivotal game, Game 5, and we use the word pivotal a lot, don't we?
Pivotal Game 5. It's like
pivotal.
I hear Marv Albert's voice in my head saying it. The answer to your question on G League players in the NBA Finals this year. Now, obviously, you mentioned Chris Middleton. Mm-hmm. He is the first G League player to become an NBA All-Star. But do you want to guess how many players there are?
Was Cam Cameron Payne, was he one? I would guess three.
A little higher than that. And by a little, I mean a lot.
Well, are you talking about full rosters? Or are you talking about...
These are...
Okay, if I go full rosters, I would say about half, maybe... What do you got? You got 24 players. I would say out of the 24, that 9 or 10. I would say 9 or 10 have
so
G League history.
According to the G League site, now these are players that have at least one game of G League experience.
So it may not be a long stop. It may be a rehab.
Yeah. 19. Still very high.
Wait.
Yeah.
19 players of this
in
series.
This series.
Wow.
Yeah. Middleton's the obvious one. You got Mamadi Diakite. Of course, he was a star at Virginia, I believe.
We should almost give the list of who doesn't have G League experience. It'd
Bryn
be a smaller list.
Forbes. I'm going to butch Antetokounmpo's brother's first name, but Giannis's brother.
Uh-huh.
Justin Jackson, Sam Merrill, Jordan Wara, Bobby Portis, who plays Axel Tupain. Never heard of him. PJ Tucker, Cameron Payne. You mentioned him.
Yeah.
Javon Carter, Tyshawn Alexander, Torrey Craig, Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder came to the G League.
Yeah, I did not know that. Langston Galloway, Abdel Nader, and Jalen Smith. The Fort Wayne Jalen Smith. Yes, there's a Jalen Smith. Different spelling. It's Jalen spelled like Jalen Rose.
That's not the Jalen Smith that went to Maryland, is it? Is he a
rookie
or a second-year player?
Second year, yeah, I think it is, actually. He played
what
for...
What team is he on? Is he on...
He is on Phoenix. He played for the Agua Caliente Clippers in the previous G League season.
Okay, so 19 players.
With at least one game of G League experience. A lot higher than I would have guessed.
Yeah,
I would have guessed
very
like
highly. I mean,
half a dozen.
I know Tim Baumann is always preaching and talking about how close the Mad Ants are to the NBA and how many future NBA players you have a chance to see when you get a Mad Ants ticket. Well, there you go, Tim. Right there. We just gave you the big plug with the list of players that have played in the G League and now are playing in the NBA Finals. But boy, did Middleton put on a show last night. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions. By the way, with Connor Asesian, I believe he is participating in the Peach Jam. I know that Fletcher Lawyer is participating in the Peach Jam, but Connor Asesian just keeps racking up offers and they keep elevating. You know, if we go back to his first offer, it was from Purdue Fort Wayne. The Mastodons offered in April of 2020. Since then, he got a couple of non-D1 offers, but then it's been Lipscomb, Furman, Belmont, Western Michigan, IUPUI, Valpo, Northern Kentucky, Toledo, Elon, Ball State, Milwaukee, Bowling Green, Loyola Chicago, Eastern Illinois, Murray State, Wofford, the Rice Owls, George Mason, Illinois State, and yesterday... add Creighton to the list. First Power 5 offer comes from the Creighton Blue Jays.
I think what's fascinating about the list, a lot of schools with great mascots. That's my takeaway.
Let's see. Blue Jays, Owls.
Terriers of Wofford.
Wofford. What's George Mason? Governors, Colonels, George Mason. I'm trying to think.
The name escapes me.
Eastern Illinois is the Panthers.
They're the Patriots.
Patriots.
George Mason Patriots.
Well, anyway, he just keeps kind of upgrading. That kind of tells you what type of summer he is having, and he is just tearing it up. So Connor Asesian now with an offer in his hand for the Creighton Blue Jays. But remember, it's easy to think, oh, well, Creighton will be the winner then, because look at all the other schools that are smaller than Creighton. But that doesn't always mean it's the perfect match for someone. I mean, I think you got to look at, do you want to be the big fish in a small pond? Do you want to play in a certain geographic area? Do you want to go to a certain college? Do you feel comfortable with a certain size school? I mean, maybe he doesn't want to go to Omaha. Maybe he doesn't want to go to a large school like Creighton. It's just, but he does have an offer now from the Creighton Blue Jays. So we'll see what happens with Connor Asesian, whose stock has really skyrocketed over the last couple of years. We'll take a break when we come back on the other side. We've got Hayden Jones, Fort Wayne product, who has signed as NDFA with the Cincinnati Reds. It comes up next here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We are back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Tommy Schegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director, is going to be joining us in about 12 minutes. Also, at the top of the hour, we've got Tin Caps Baseball as they have a doubleheader against West Michigan. That will get started at 6 o'clock pregame. 6:05 will be the first pitch. And, of course, it's a 7-inning, 2-game doubleheader, so there'll be a quick break between games. So it's Tin Caps Baseball most of the night right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM with John Nolan and Jack McMullen on the call. Speaking of baseball, of course, it's been kind of a busy week with baseball taking their All-Star break. You had the Home Run Derby, you had the Futures game, you had the Major League Baseball All-Star game, but going on at the same time, you also had the Major League Baseball draft. And then after the draft, then the teams get busy trying to sign non-drafted free agents, and that is where our next guest ended up being signed by the Cincinnati Reds, and we welcome to the program Hayden Jones on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. And first of all, Hayden, just congratulations. You're a professional.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit about your college career. You started at Mississippi State, ended up at Illinois State, and finished up this past year. Kind of had a tough year. In your mind, how do you describe how things went in your college days?
It was one of those that was a challenge I had to overcome, and it's something that I learned that's going to help me later on down the road, is overcoming those challenges and everything else.
As far as going into this draft, did you talk to scouts before the draft? Did you have an idea of what teams might be interested and where you might hear your name if it was going to pop up on the draft board?
Yeah, I had, before spring started, I had met on Zoom with all 30 clubs, and they're high up in the front office were people. And so it's kind of, I had an idea, and then come before the draft, I had about 10 teams that were in the mix that were going to offer me in the late couple of rounds. And I guess it just fell through, like obviously we see. And but I had a couple teams in the, at the end of day three that were offering me over the phone. It just wasn't enough for that round. But it was worth a shot. But I got the deal that I'm going to take and go at it and take the opportunity that's in front of me.
And, of course, we mentioned this yesterday with Garrett Shanley, who had a similar situation, said, you know, the guys being signed right now for non-drafted free agents, these aren't typical non-drafted free agents because the Major League Baseball draft's been shortened up. It's half as long as it used to be. So your name would have been called at some point, clearly, and you'd have had that moment. So you've still got a great opportunity, and it's certainly, nothing in this day and age to not be drafted when there's only 20 picks. There's a lot of pressure on teams as far as how they make that final selection, what type of position they're looking for, what they're looking for as far as their future. Tell us about what you do, and as far as your game, how do scouts describe what assets they see? Is it power? Is it speed, athleticism? Is it defensive abilities? What are they looking at that they're saying Hayden Jones can help our organization?
Biggest thing is my defensive abilities. I'm able to hold base runners close and control the running game big time with my arm and being able to block pitches and stuff like that. And I've been able to steal strikes easily. And through my years of college, I've learned how to catch. And that's one thing that catchers nowadays don't understand, or they want to go to Twitter and look at that type of stuff. When in reality, you got to learn and teach yourself almost a little bit and get the right person to help you in that area.
What does that mean? That's an interesting statement, Hayden, that you learned how to catch, because we all think everybody should know how to catch.
Right.
But is it the way you receive the baseball to get favorable calls, be able to frame pitches? Is it the way you block pitches? What do you mean when you say I learned how to catch?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult. It was easier said than done. It's kind of just being able to steal strikes, again, controlling the running game, but then as well as leading a pitching staff and being relaxed as you're the leader behind the dish, and you got a lot of pressure and stress on you, because you're the quarterback of the field. So just being able to realize that and understand it and kind of grow and mature is one of the biggest areas that, I learned and have grown and gone a long ways with that. Having a coach that was a major league catcher and having a dad that played in the professional ranks, it has really helped, and has just, my tools have been sharpened.
I always feel like every catcher needs to be a really good pitcher. And it's not that you go out and actually pitch, but you have to be in the head of every pitcher that steps on that mound because you're constantly trying to think like they're thinking. Is that something that you've seen develop in your game to kind of have an understanding of how pitchers work hitters and getting comfortable with guys that you're catching?
Absolutely. That's one thing that helps the best is you grow that relationship with those guys and you can go back there and it's almost like you can read their minds, or it's like having a twin where you know what one twin is thinking. I know Garrett and Shanley and I were out in summer ball playing together this year, and if you just saw us out there, we never had mound meetings just because we could read each other and knew how to work with each other in certain situations. So it's one of those that you grow as you learn the game.
When you talk about being able to backstop, catch, think like a pitcher, I guess, did you call pitches? Were you given the freedom in college to be able to call the game yourself?
Yeah, in a way, we did. It was one of those that I kind of, in a way, relayed what I was thinking to our coach and our signs, and he would kind of just tell me if he agreed or not. And so it was kind of one of those that I got to ask him in a certain way if that was the right pitch, and he would just tell me yes or no, basically. And if not, then he'd give me a different pitch. But then in the summer league we were in, it was ran like professional league, and I called all the pitches there. Last summer I called all my pitches. In the high school I called all the pitches. So,
but the one thing is, and I know with the advancement in scouting, is in high-level college ball and in professional baseball, don't you have a pretty in-depth meeting on every hitter with your pitcher catcher and maybe your pitching coach to kind of go through and say, this is the game plan, this is how we want to approach guys, and then you kind of play off that depending on what the pitcher's got that particular day?
Absolutely. It's kind of crazy how much technology has came into the game, and sometimes it's kind of sad how much technology has come in, but, I mean, you got to play with it and take it for advantage. But you get the spreadsheets on guys and where their hot zones are, what pitches they aren't good at, with percentages. It's amazing how much stuff you get feedback-wise on that. And it makes the calling games easier because you just have to pitch their weaknesses.
Have there been times where technology has maybe, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but I think as a hitter with all the technology that is available and you being such a baseball guy, is there times where it maybe messed you up, where you tried to alter your swing or fix this or that because of certain technology, launch angle, all this other stuff that you've got? Have you played with technology in your career?
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those that being at the high level of collegially, you get to play with a bunch of that stuff. And you kind of just have to, as a player yourself, you have to find what works best for you and what fits you. So I'm more of a video type guy that looks at that, and that's really about all I look at. And like I go into a game at pitchers sequences and everything like that, and I just look at, you know, his velo and what he throws most often, and that's kind of it. I told Coco Chris was our manager this summer, and we were talking to him, and he goes, do you like to get a lot of information? I'm like, no, like the more information, the more I think. And he goes, that's exactly how I was.
Wow.
So kind of, it depends on the type of player you are.
What is next now that you actually signed the contract?
No, so tomorrow morning I fly out to Arizona, and all the this year's draftees for the Reds fly out there, and then we'll do our physicals and all everything like that and sign the paperwork. So it's kind of get on the road and get going.
And did they give you any indication as to where your destination might be? Because, you know, Cincinnati has a affiliate in Dayton, and Dayton plays Fort Wayne. And I don't know what the schedule is, but maybe there'd be a chance you'll play at Parkview Field sometime
right.
This year.
No, hopefully that's it. And I'd love to come back home. And, you know, this is the old stomping grounds and would love to come back to see family and friends. Right now, they just have all of us going to Arizona, and on the 29th, they tell us if they're keeping us there for player development or sending us off to an affiliate. So it's kind of, after being there for a few days and everything, we'll find out what their plan is for us.
Well, good luck to you. Congratulations again, and good luck on your professional career. I would expect sooner rather than later that we might see you in a Dragons uniform. And so we'll look forward to that. But congrats, and thanks for taking time to join us today.
Thank you. Absolutely. I appreciate it.
That is Hayden Jones joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Of course, a former Carroll product that got signed as a non-drafted free agent. So he is off to Arizona and start his professional career with the Cincinnati Reds. We'll take a timeout. We've got Tommy Shegler from Parkview Sports Medicine. He's going to join us coming up on the other side of the break. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. A rainy Thursday afternoon with the Sports Rush taking you home. It's four down, one to go with this work week. And that means, of course, on a Thursday at 5:36, it's time to talk to Parkview Sports Medicine Director Tommy Shegler, who joins us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Good afternoon, Rumpy. How are you today?
Doing well. I have seen you on my computer. I have been watching the videos each and every night. This is a big week for Parkview Sports Medicine. A lot of great awards being handed out. I love to see that, the recognition for our student athletes.
Yeah, you know, the Albright Gimlich Scholarship Award program has gone back all the way to the early 2000s until last year. It was just the Albright Award, but we also named it after Brett Gimlich, who we lost as a sports doc a couple years ago inside of our program, and he was such a huge part of it. And you're right, we take some time to recognize some kids that have shown great character and leadership through athletics. And the hardest part of it is picking some winners, because every year we have such great candidates.
Yeah, and so that's available on the Parkview Sports Medicine Facebook page. I know, is there one more left tonight?
Yes, there's one more left tonight. It's four straight nights. So yeah, there's one more left, and we give away 8 scholarships overall. It's an $8,000 scholarship for these kids.
Wow.
As they go through school. So $2,000 a year that they get. So just a awesome gift that is provided through Parkview Health and ONE to, you know, help support these kids as they enter into the next chapter.
Well, it's a fantastic program, and I know the past nights are available. The videos are available on the Facebook page, but also then we have something to look forward to tonight as well. It's more Tommy hosting your awards. So if you need more Tommy, you can get more Tommy coming up tonight. Don't know if anybody really needs more Tommy.
I try to stay away from being in front of the camera as much as possible these days, but this is a good this is a good cause, good reason to do it.
Well, it is, absolutely. And I think it's a great program. All right, let's talk about golf. We've got another major underway, and they play in the wee hours of the morning. And so, hey, it's perfect for me. I'd rather get up early and watch a sports event than have to try to stay up to 11:30 or 11:45 watching the end of an NBA game. But it is Louis getting out to the early lead, Louis Oosthuizen. And I couldn't believe I got 30-1 odds on him yesterday to be the winner. But the only problem is, this is what Louis does. Louis sits there right near the top for about 3 days and then finds a darn way to lose it on the fourth day. Do you believe this is maybe the chance for Louis Oosthuizen to break through and get his major?
Well, I think his game really correlates to this type of course a little bit better than maybe some of the others. So I think he'll definitely be in it until the end. He'll be around, but you're right. The biggest problem with Oosthuizen is having that kind of killer instinct to put people away, and he has not done that in the past. You got a guy like Jordan Spieth who comes out and shoots in the 60s in the first round of a major for the first time in a couple of years. So he looks like maybe he's going to be dialed in, although it's been such a roller coaster with Jordan lately. I don't think you can really bank on that until you get into the late weekend and know that he's putting it together. But, you know, this is the shortest course in major history. It always is when it hosts. It's only 7,200 yards. So, but it's just not forgiving off of the tee. So the guys that can drive for distance, but with accuracy more than anything else are going to be the ones that see success this weekend. And you got a guy like DeChambeau who went out today and put it all over the place. He can drive it a mile, but he doesn't know where it's going right now, and that's not going to work on this course.
The you know, when you look at some of the names that seem to elevate their game for majors, Webb Simpson is one of those guys. He was very solid today at 4 under. And I look at him and I think, you know, we hardly ever talk about Webb Simpson any week of the year until it comes to a major, and he seems to always kind of lurk in the field.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys. Like, you know, you can make the exact same argument for your leader right now, Oosthuizen, because he doesn't contend other weeks routinely. Brooks Koepka is another guy that you know, seems to be able to block out everything that's going on in a major and put some of those nerves and some of that pressure aside and be able to come through, but maybe doesn't always show up on the leaderboard consistently the way that you would expect, you know, when it's the other weeks off of the major. So, yeah, I think that Webb Simpson is a guy that seems to show up. You know, when you look at the other one that I think that is in the top 10 that you'll need to keep an eye on is Justin Rose. He always plays good across the pond. Obviously, he's from over there. So he's another one. Dustin Johnson's only two under, so he's not that far back. So there's some guys a little further back down the line. Molinari is another one that I would keep an eye on. He's a really good off the tee from an accuracy standpoint. So I think he'll have a chance as well this week.
Talking to Tommy Shegler from Parkview Sports Medicine, who joins us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. It's been a busy week for Major League Baseball, having the Futures game, then having the Home Run Derby, having the All-Star game, but at the same time trying to conduct their draft. I don't know if it's too much to do it all together. I think it takes some of the attention away from the draft rather than doing what Major League Baseball's hopes were, which was, I think, to bring more eyeballs to the draft. But it's 20 rounds, and we had three guys we were kind of watching through this process. One gets drafted. Grant Richardson gets picked up. He is a New York Yankee. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you're growing up, unless you're a hardcore fan of another team, the Yankees are probably the one that everybody kind of dreams about, the pinstripes, and to be able to get picked up in the 17th round, you know, that's something to be proud of for sure. And you got to be excited for him and for these other young men that are going to get a chance to show off what they have.
And we just talked yesterday. We had a chance to talk to Garrett Shanley and then Hayden Jones today. And I know, you know, you remember both of those guys playing because they went off, played 4 years of college baseball. And so I think, and I'm trying to remember exactly, what was it, 7 years ago that you did your last sports cast? I'm trying to remember if these guys were in baseball then. Maybe even that they came after you.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
Hard to believe.
I was about 6-7 years ago, right in there now. So it's some time has gone by. So they were probably coming up right as I was getting out. But some of them for sure definitely came after, which seems weird. But I like Hayden Jones. I know he just signed as a free agent, but I, you know, I've known a little bit about him in the past. I like the way he conducts himself, and we'll see how he can do at the next level.
Yeah, it comes from a great baseball family, both dad and grandfather, so influential in baseball in Northeast Indiana. And Garrett Shanley, good multi-sport athlete at Northrop. All right, Tommy, so what is new with Parkview Sports Medicine?
You know, we just continue to talk about PSM Performance and our Edge Performance Program. If you have an athlete or you are an athlete that has a busy schedule year-round but is trying to peak at the right times throughout the course of the year, then PSM Performance is the place for you. Our Edge Program is the place for you. You can come in, get a free consultation, free evaluation anytime throughout the course of the year just by reaching out through ParkviewSportsMedicine.com. Doesn't cost you a thing to come in and get your numbers and hear about the program. And if it's the right fit for you, which I think it will be, you can then sign up. So it is designed to to be tailored around a busy athletic schedule and get you peaking in the right times throughout the course of the year so that you can, you know, really shine in the moments that you want to make sure that you're at your best.
Hard to believe, but we are about a month away from the start of high school football. How's that sound?
That is crazy. That is crazy.
You're ready to go. Hey, Tommy, always a joy having you jump on. You have yourself a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. You too.
Yep, that is Tommy Shegler joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Of course, Tommy from Parkview Sports Medicine appears here each and every week, every Thursday afternoon. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. Don't forget, Tin Caps Baseball coming up. We'll tell you what to expect for the Tin Caps tonight when we return. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Am I on? You got it figured out this time? Caleb Hatch, our producer. You know what it is, Caleb? It's sleep deprivation.
Oh, no doubt.
It's catching up with you.
It is catching
You're
up with
You're sitting
quickly.
There falling asleep, mentally just not with it, and pushing the wrong buttons, fading out the wrong things. You need to get a good night's sleep after, what, 2 days in a row of getting up at?
3:30. Yeah. I'm not a morning person. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I know that. Because you told me one time I said something about, hey, sometimes I'll text at random hours because when I think of something, I have to do it right then or I'll forget mm-hmm. the next day. And so I know DC, he knew that I would text stuff late at night. And if I thought, hey, this would be a great guest, and sometime I'll just fire away. And so I said to you when we started working together, I might be a guy that sends a random text at like 11:45. And you said, oh, late at night doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just don't send them early in the morning.
I mean, no, you can send them anytime because
you don't hear them.
Yeah, I don't hear that. I put my phone on do not disturb when I go to bed.
Oh.
So I don't have to worry about anything overnight.
Really? Huh. See, when you get to my age, you're always concerned about having a phone. I don't know if it's because of the kids or because, you know, you get older, but I don't use that do not disturb feature. But 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Of course, the big story, the NBA Finals, where Milwaukee has tied it up with the Phoenix Suns after the 109-103 win last night. Hey, you know, I asked Scott Agnes this, and I'll ask you, Caleb. A one-game MVP for last night. Do you give it to Giannis, or is it Middleton who put in 40 points?
I got to give it to Middleton. I mean, overall, Giannis, it's between Giannis and Devin Booker to be the series MVP of the series, unless something drastically changes in the final two or three games. But what Middleton did last night, I mean, this is a guy who is kind of like a journeyman player who has become a Robin for Giannis's Batman for the Bucks, and he struggled. You know, we talked about it earlier.
Yeah,
he struggled in the
postseason.
We didn't want
to give him credit for even being a legitimate Robin.
Exactly. And he has stepped it up basically late in the Eastern Conference Finals and really continued in this series in key moments when they have needed him desperately. And I'd have to give him the game MVP, the game ball for last night.
Well, perhaps the biggest impact he's had has been the games that Giannis missed when they had to defeat Brooklyn to advance to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
He became the Batman.
And he was excellent.
And he delivered. Yeah. I mean, he was excellent. So it's been a good playoffs for Chris Middleton. He's really elevated his stock, I think, and probably earned a lot of respect around the league and with the media, including us, with the way he's performed for the Milwaukee Bucks. Now it goes to Phoenix. I said last night that it was going to be a heck of a game because I thought after Phoenix learned what to expect from the Milwaukee crowd, it would be a better game. Phoenix had the lead and then blew it in the fourth quarter. I think I would like to kind of say the same thing about what to expect with Milwaukee now going to Phoenix, that the Bucks will know what to expect. Because remember, it's been a long time since these teams have seen crowds like they're seeing here in the last few games. And perhaps it puts you on your heels a little bit. But now that you know it's going to be a crazy crowd, a loud environment, a lot of energy that is kind of given to the Phoenix Suns in front of their home fans, I think Milwaukee now knows what to expect. And I think this game is going to be a terrific game. And they always say game five is pivotal when it's a 2-2 series, you know, and a best of seven. That game five is such an important game because the winner goes on, what, 76% of the time or something, the winner of game five wins the series. And that would be common math because you got two games, so all you have to do is split in the remaining two, win either game six or game seven. But supposed to be a big, important game. So that will be coming up. They don't play again until what? Saturday night. Again, what, a 9 o'clock start? Another late night start?
Yeah, I'll actually be awake and probably catch some of that game.
Able to watch that game. Well, that will do it for us. Big thanks to our guest, Scott Agnes from the Fieldhouse Files, Hayden Jones, who signed with Cincinnati, and, of course, Tommy Schegler from Parkview Sports Medicine. Tin Caps, 4 wins in a row. They go for 5 in game 1 of a doubleheader up at West Michigan. John Nolan and Jack McMullen at rainy Parkview Field to bring you all the play-by-play from Grand Rapids. Well, they're at Parkview Field. The team's up in Grand Rapids. That'll do it for us. I got to get out of here. Caleb's got to get some sleep. This has been the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan.
Podcasts by Federated Media.